Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Today is casual day for me because it is Super Tuesday. Yes, welcome to Super Tuesday. And what that meant was I was at the polls for a good majority of the day, and I was smart enough to wear a hat, but I was not smart enough to, I was wearing a tank top earlier, and I was not smart enough to put on sunscreen. So my shoulders are burnt to a crisp, but that's okay. All right, because it's for the grassroots cause. So Super Tuesday, by the time that you're watching this, your polling location may be closed. I'm not sure. Depends on where you're at. But I know if you are in Texas at the time you're watching this, you have 1 hour to get to the polls. So go if you haven't already voted. But the states that are holding Republican primaries tonight, Super Tuesday, are Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia. Now, Arizona is not on that list, but we do have breaking news today as far as the election that Kyrsten Sinema just announced today that she will not be seeking re-election in Arizona. So now you've got Carrie Lake in the Republican primary. I believe she's running against Sheriff Mark Lamb. I don't think that it is a close race. So Carrie Lake is expected to be the Republican nominee, and Ruben Gallego over on the Democrat side. So they will likely be the ones to face off in November. So, you know, like Super Tuesday is interesting, spending so much time at the polls. What has been a little bit disheartening, I'm going to be honest with you, is not just the low voter turnout. Everyone turns up for the general election, but they don't participate in the primary process. And then they are confused whenever they get someone on their side who calls themselves a Republican and ends up being a rhino. But what else is fascinating is that the people who show up, I can't tell you how many people I talked to who showed up at the polling place today and said, I'm just going to vote straight Republican. And I'm like, hold on. No. That's not, you're going to go in there and you're going to have Republican versus Republican and you're not going to know what to do. So please take this voter guide into the ballot box. But it's just, it's frustrating that people don't get more, not just involved, but informed and involved. That is important. I know Stu Bergier has a shirt available for sale that basically says that, like, learn, then vote. The order is important. So you definitely want to learn and be informed before you vote. But So I want to play, actually, yeah, I want to play this clip. This is a black man from the inner city with conservative values who is, you guys are going to be shocked. He is supporting the racist Donald Trump. Watch.
Every time he gets on stage, you know, as a black Republican from the inner city, I can't tell you I like Donald Trump, but it has nothing to do with his tennis shoes or indictments. The majority of black men across America, we do have conservative values. We do have businesses, and we want to raise our kids without the undue influence of Democrat policies. And so that's what he stands for, and we're going to stand with him.
And that is where it will be interesting to see how it shakes out as far as the minority vote. How many minorities are now going to participate in the Republican primaries versus the Democrat primaries? At least here in Texas, we obviously have a very large Hispanic population. And I was just talking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about how just for so long, Hispanics and other minorities, they have been spoon-fed this idea that the Democrats are your party, when in actuality, if you look at it, especially with a socially conservative, as minorities tend to be. I mean, you want to talk about Hispanics, it is all God, family, country, right? I mean, their values align socially, especially. They don't do any of the LGBTQIA apostrophe S squared plus shit. They don't do any of that. Like, grandma's going to get the chancla and hit you over the head if you come home and say that you're a boy, if you're really a girl. So they are not aligned with so many of the policies that the Democrats have gone in on, all the way in on, so radically in on. I keep waiting. I'm like, is this going to be the election that they wake up and they say, why are we voting for these people who are continuing, like, we are perpetually living in poverty with crime on our streets, all of this because of the policies that these people are enacting? I keep waiting to see see, is this the election that they're going to wake up? And the support for Donald Trump makes me encouraged. The support from the minorities here, we're talking about, you know, not just the black vote, but the Latinos as well, Hispanics as well. It does. I mean, I feel a little bit encouraged that they see through the Democrat sham. Certainly there we're going to reach a point where the Democrats are going to overplay their hand. But, you know, curiously today, Super Tuesday, Facebook and Instagram experienced widespread technical problems. There were thousands of users unable to access both of these social media platforms. So there were people that were reporting that they were being logged out of Facebook. They were trying to log in and they got an error message that said something went wrong. Please try again, which was like the overwhelming majority of the cases. And apparently this happened. It spiked at about 10:30 a.m. Eastern with more than a million reports. And I don't know. I find that curious that on Super Tuesday, when you have all of those states that I just read, all of them have these elections today. I don't know. I just find it curious that today, of all days, people are not able to get on Facebook, potentially, I don't know, see where their voting location is, potentially read information about candidates, potentially get an ad maybe. I don't know. Just seems weird to me. And I would just like to point out that Elon Musk did take the opportunity to post on X, formerly known as Twitter. If you're reading this post, it's because our servers are working. So that was cute. And in other election news, I want to get to this quickly before I bring in my guest here. The Daily Mail is reporting that Michelle Obama has ruled herself out as a presidential candidate, and she is putting her support behind the elderly dementia patient in chief, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris for reelection. Now, obviously, this has been a heavily discussed subject because everyone's looking at Biden and they're like, this can't be the guy. Like, we all know. Am I crazy? Am I taking crazy? Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing? We all know. We are all seeing this guy who is like halfway in the grave. There's no way this is going to be our guy, right? 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 The Democrats are like scratching their heads like, right? That like, we're all in alignment on that, right? And they keep floating Michelle Obama's name. But what I've said from the beginning with Michelle Obama's name is, number one, if Michelle Obama were the nominee, we could be in serious trouble. Number two, I don't think Michelle Obama will be the nominee, because why would she want to leave her elitist life over there in Martha's Vineyard? She's over there sipping her tea with her pinky up all the time in Martha's Vineyard, even though, you know, I mean, climate change, they say, is going to completely decimate her multi-million-dollar mansion over there on Martha's Vineyard. But still, despite her bad investment choice, why would she want to put herself back in here? She's made her money. She lived the life as first lady. They've got it made now. They're sitting on millions of dollars. Why would she then turn around and put her name back in here and deal with 4 years of BS? I don't know why she would do it. And so now she's saying, now look, if she decided to change her mind, she wouldn't be the last person. She wouldn't be the first person. She wouldn't be the last person to say, I am definitely not running for that position, and then turn around and change her mind. But for now, she has said she is supporting Joe Biden and she is not going to run. So take that for what it's worth. But a recent Rasmussen survey found that nearly 50% of Democrats want to replace Joe Biden. And more than half of those people would like to see Michelle Obama in his place instead of Kamala. Now, I would be curious to see how many people would like to see Michelle Obama in place of Gavin Newsom, which seems to be the obvious choice for them. That seems to be the obvious pivot. Now, I do find it funny. It isn't lost on me that they're constantly like, DEI, we need diversity, equity, and inclusion in every single industry ever. And somehow they keep trotting out old white men. Now, Gavin would be young white man, but still a white man to run for the most important position in this country, arguably. It is interesting to me that it always ends up being a white guy. And they're like, but your airline definitely needs more DEI. But all of the people below me definitely need more DEI. And all of these, Fortune 500 corporations definitely need more DEI. But we here at the top only like to nominate old white men, because that's how we do it here in the Democrat Party. So we'll see what happens with Gavin Newsom. You got to believe that it's pretty hard for him to go out, do interviews, and with a straight face say, oh, I think Joe Biden's doing a phenomenal job. Why would I want to replace him? What are you talking about? He's doing great. I'm really proud to support Joe Biden for president. You got to believe that he's like, I'd really love to like never do this again and finally tell people what my actual intentions are, which is to take his spot and kick Kamala to the curb. So we'll see how that plays out. All right. When we come back, I want to bring in my guest here and I want to talk about Charles Barkley, of course, NBA legend Charles Barkley, who is now threatening to punch a black person in black people in the face if they are walking around with a shirt of Donald Trump. We'll get into that when we return. All right, I want to welcome to the show the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Eric July, of course, Blaze TV contributor and founder of Ripaverse Comics, who has another big release coming up.
Oh, yes, Yaira, one of our highly, if not our most highly anticipated book, will be releasing this upcoming Monday on the 11th.
Wow. Why do you still show up in the building? Well, I mean, if I'm you and you're like, I just, you know, I'm just made a couple mil. I'm like, peace. See ya.
I love it here.
Yeah.
I love it.
Eric never forgets the little people. Yeah, he always comes back and remembers the little people, and we appreciate you for that, Eric. I went through all the Super Tuesday stuff for tonight, and I saw Charles Barkley was on CNN last night, and he made this very wild statement, like threatening to punch black people if they wore a shirt of Trump's mugshot. Very strange behavior. Here's Charles Barkley last night.
You know who embraced it more than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible. You see black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts.
When you heard that, what did you think? Big sigh.
First of all, I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugshot, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
No, Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely.
That's assault, brother. So he says, he went on to say, it's an insult to black people and that he's offended because of all the years black people have faced discrimination. Now, I'm not sure what that has to do with Donald Trump.
Your guess is as good as mine on that one.
That like the mental gymnastics required to like put that towards Donald Trump, who, by the way, was like, I mean, we had record low unemployment numbers for minorities, minority communities, including black people, but not just black people. He also advocated for signed a criminal justice reform into law that I personally disagreed with. I thought that it was too lax on criminals, and he signed it into law. So it's just the mental gymnastics required to be like, hey, Donald Trump is a racist. And if you like Donald Trump and you're black somehow, I mean, we heard it from Joe Biden. If you vote for Trump, you ain't black.
Well, if you vote for Biden, you ain't black is what they said. But look, this is my position. Charles is just saying what his approved position is. And most people on the television, especially working for networks like that he's with, they have their approved narrative. You know, with the NBA, they recently, I mean, they kind of went back on it just a little bit. They still do all of that. But, you know, the social justice stuff on the back of the jerseys and on the courts, mm-hmm. they went back on that. It's a hive mind. OK, mm-hmm. so that's an acceptable position that whether he's told to have it or it's politically expedient for him to have it, whichever one effectively is still the same thing. It's basically him just reiterating that he has an issue with people that are of certain colors that are fans of another man, which is a crazy position to have. I've talked about this extensively with the political landscape regarding black folks, is that really it's odd. White, straight men are the only people that don't seem to have to justify what their political positions are.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it is very
so
weird.
So if you are a woman, if you are a black person, then and they already have you in this box. Mm-hmm. If you're not in that, and it's not often being a Trump supporter, like you can have guys like me, it's effectively the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you are not preaching essentially social justice leftism, that's the public facing approved talking point, right? I guess you can kind of be in secrecy, but if you are to have a position that is antithetical to what the authoritarian left advocates, and you are, let's say, a black person, as Charles said, they're going to feel some kind of way. Will they probably literally punch you? Some may be crazy enough to actually do that. But for the most part, it's just more him speaking that they have issue with that. They have issue. He has issue with a black person supporting Trump. It's essentially what it is.
Isn't it so wild, though, that they, like, I'm... Every time I get, I know you get the same thing as me. It's just like, well, they, why are you voting for the party? Not that you vote, but why are you voting for the party that wants to send you back to Mexico? I'm like, what? Like, they've always treated me as an individual. Like, that's what this is about, is like, I'm an individual. I have my own mind. I can make up my own decisions. And it's just so weird to deal with. It seems like the entire party who thinks like, oh, you're a Hispanic woman, so you have to think a certain way. Oh, you're a black man, so you have to have these certain beliefs. Like, they can't comprehend a minority who has a free mind, who is a free thinker. And to me, I don't know, that's just a little racist.
Oh, it's a lot of bit racist by textbook definition. They're applying a set of traits and attributes that they expect you to have solely because of your race. And again, going back to the point that I was making earlier, it's approved sort of positions, which is why you don't see me getting so bent out of shape and trying to disprove a lot of what they levy at me. I can call Trump supporter and all sorts of other crazy things, which I'm not.
Do your homework.
Yeah, exactly. If you just did your homework, you would know that wasn't true. But what it boils down to is that you're not in the box.
Right.
You're not in the box. You are supposed to be advocating leftism. That's what it all boils down to. If you don't do that, you're a problem. And really, if that narrative died tomorrow, the need... The swindle, the literal grift, by way of leftists and Democrats goes away. They need people in a sort of perpetual state of feeling like, oh, if the other guys win, then that's the end of you. You're going to be deported. I guess black people are going to be slaves again.
Going to put you back in chains, Eric.
All sorts of just craziness is what they will say it will end up happening if the Republicans then win, which is why they say even if you don't vote, or even if you, let's say, vote their party, it doesn't matter what your position is. You have to go support these Democrats. That's what it boils down to, because if the Republicans win... Well, that will be all bad for the women and the black people.
Exactly. Exactly. So I want to move over to the border. Speaking of minorities, I want to move over to the border because I spoke with Chad yesterday. He was on the show. And we talked about the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, who allowed Texas to, you know, defend their own, not just defend their own border, but SB4, they allowed it to take effect, which was that Texas can now arrest people suspected of crossing the border illegally. We can actually, like, grab them, arrest them, and do something about it. And so I was like, well, the only thing that will stop this is if the Supreme Court takes it up. But I mean, they got their hands tied. Like, I should say, they're very busy right now. And so I don't know, maybe they won't. Well, it was like, as the show was airing out live, the SCOTUS decided to halt that. So they are blocking Texas's immigration law, SB4, from taking effect. That means that the Supreme Court will rule on the issue by March 13th. So now we can't, they're tying our hands behind our back. We can't do anything. We can't enforce our laws. We can't keep our border sovereign. We can't do any of that, even though we're finding out there was a FOIA lawsuit from the Center of Immigration Studies that revealed that the Biden administration has been coordinating flights for approximately 320,000 illegal immigrants to 43 different cities across the country, which I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to understand that that could cause major, I mean, that is national security vulnerabilities at play here. And yet they're just being flown in by the Biden administration. You don't even have to walk these days. You don't have to walk. You can just get a free flight, free money, free debit card, free phone, free everything. But you, if you're an American citizen, no, please. If you're a homeless veteran, stay on the streets, live in filth. That's fine. We'll take care of these illegals instead.
That's how it works. Look, this is, to me, of all the conversations that we often discuss on the show, is the most intriguing, because I do believe that a lot of, particularly Texas, the folks that live in Texas, let's just say that, it's a dichotomy, right? Because I think what's going to have to happen is that a lot of folks are going to have to be forced to take positions that otherwise they would not have taken. And that is basically telling the federal government to go screw themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that makes me a very happy man. Mm-hmm. This is something that I advocate. But this is something
so says, don't threaten me with a good time.
Exactly. But this is something that, you know, it's so blatant. And you may see the Supreme Court end up taking the position of the federal government, because I do not think that they want freer states. I do not think that they want, especially people need to understand, Texas of all the states is not arguably, it's the most independent one. Mm-hmm. It's the one that if the federal government decided not to rule over us, we'd be fine for the most part between our economy and infrastructure. Texas of all of them can exist. However, if they say, okay, we're out, and then they start enforcing whatever rules it is that they want to enforce. Mm-hmm. And people realize that the world doesn't blow up. Well, what stops Florida from being like, wait a minute? Right. What stops the other states from being like, wait a minute? So don't expect them to rule on behalf of Texas. But this is my argument.
Then what?
That's what it gets really interesting.
Yes.
Because what I think Texas should do is say, okay, you rule your way. We don't care.
Yeah. They have to, because if the Supreme Court, if the highest law in the land says you are not allowed to defend and protect your own borders, what the hell are we all doing here? Like, what are we doing here? Huh. What is the point of all this?
I think what's happening is I don't want to call it a logical conclusion. I think it was, unfortunately, when the government started to set itself up, more so the federal government started to set itself up in the way that it has, we're coming to this like harsh reality that, well, when it all is said and done, they're not there to look out for any particular geographical area. It's more so they're there to maintain their presence and maintain their power. So when you're faced with an issue like this, which is impacting so many different people, yeah, sure, there may be injustices on both sides, but it's impacting a lot of different people and really across the entire nation, not just with Texas, but because of how close we are to Mexico, it's impacting Texans more than anything. So now people are going to have to face that reality. Well, the federal government don't got us.
Right.
They ultimately don't got us. And when it's time to, you know, actually do something, let's say action, not just talking about it, legislate, like, mm-hmm. OK, it's actually time to come up with some sort of resolution. You see, the federal government will be like, well, you're on your own. We don't want you to do that.
Right.
We don't want you to do anything that may be because you'll make us look bad. Yeah. We don't want you resolving any problems or anything. Can't do your own thing.
Right. Which, to your point, and then I know we got to go to break in a second, but to your point is like, at the end of the day, let's say the Supreme Court does rule on it. And let's say that the Supreme Court says, no, you're not. If the federal government has abdicated their responsibility, you're not allowed, as Texas, as a state, you're not allowed to pick up their slack. Who cares at the end of the day? Because what are they going to do? What are they going to do? You already have Border Patrol who is calling out Joe Biden and saying he is doing a horrible job, that they don't support what he's doing, that they don't support this open border. And they have already come out and said, we respect Texas National Guard. We're not here to cause a problem. They're doing their job. We're trying to do ours. Like, there's not, I just, maybe violence breaks out, but maybe that's what it has to come to. I don't want it to.
I would argue it'd be temporary. I think it'd be very temporary. It'd be very difficult to convince, especially American people, to start going attacking Texas.
So you have to stand strong if you're Texas or any other state who has that ruling. Like, you have to say, what are you going to do about it? We're not stopping. And just let the chips fall where they may is the only way out of this. All right, let's go ahead and let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, this is so good. Eric, did you see AOC being heckled by her own? Oh, the left eating their own is just, and when it's AOC, it is double. Two chef's kisses for this when we come back. Oh, get your popcorn ready. The left eating their own again. Yesterday evening, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was leaving a theater in Brooklyn, New York, with her husband, and she was heckled by these same radical leftists that she is breeding, by the way, pro-Palestinian activists claiming that she refuses to call the conflict in Gaza a genocide.
You refuse to call it a genocide. In front of
I need you to understand.
This is not okay.
You're lying.
Then just say it's a genocide. Just say it. Over 30,000 people are dead, AOC. You can't just say it for once. Just say a word. That's it. That's all we want you to say.
Cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip it.
Look at her beta husband.
So that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was, and y'all are just going to pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's up, man. And you're not helping these people.
TV.
And you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
There's so many good things about this clip. First of all, it is 2024 and the far left is still wearing masks, which I just find to be so hilarious. I've been working the polls. I talked about it earlier. And I still approach a voter. But when they get out of the car wearing a mask, I'm like, I don't think this is my people.
Not a chance.
I don't think this is my people. I don't think they're voting in my primary. I don't think it's going to matter. And most of the time, I am absolutely correct. But this is what she's breeding.
Yeah.
She's radicalizing all of these people. It's the same thing with all of these climate change activists that have been radicalized into thinking that they literally are going to die in, I don't know, it was 12 years ago, a couple years. So maybe we're down to like 8 or 9. But this is what she's breeding. So congratulations, AOC. You created this monster, and it's nice to see them eat their own.
Yeah, I mean, eventually they will. And look, these are babies that should have been told to, you know, shut up long time ago. But not just the types of people. This is the entire environment that leftists have bred, where through these sort of intimidation tactics, they try to pimp people into saying things that they want them to say. It, going into like the nerd culture stuff, which I obviously talk about a lot, there's a company called Sweet Baby Inc., which is there's a whole fiasco going on. And their co-founder, like the year after they started, so it's 2019, was speaking in front of a bunch of gamers. And she was saying basically in regards to this and like inclusion and DEI and all that stuff. That if they're not listening to you, like these gaming companies, then you need to basically intimidate them is essentially what it was that they were saying. And that's the tactic that's been applied everywhere. It's political. It's in every single entertainment industry. It's all part of that, where these people are trying to pimp folk into getting their way. And really, definitely post 2020. Or the year, something of love and beyond, where you had all these counter signaling entities. They have really got their way. It's like, you will say what we want you to say. So when you should have told them to shut up, like, no, you don't know what it is that you're talking about. Maybe there's an issue or two that's a little more complicated than trying to limit it to these sort of catchphrases.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't. You listened to them. You embraced what it was that they wanted you to say. And you shouted it from the mountaintops. And now they're coming to collect yet again.
Exactly. Well, right. Because you're talking about these industries, but like, these leftist politicians have for a very long time encouraged the harassment of other politicians on the other side, right? It's always the Republicans, like activists going into a restaurant, screaming at Ted Cruz while he's trying to have dinner with his family has been applauded by them for a very long time.
What happened to Rand Paul? Remember what happened?
Right.
They were actually, I mean, they were acting like that guy was an absolute hero.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he physically assaulted him.
Yes. Physically assaulted.
In his front yard, mowing the lawn, right?
Yeah.
Physically assaulted, and he was like, oh, wow, what an activist hero. And so for a very long time, you have, what's her name, Maxine Waters, telling people, get out in the street, go get in people's faces. And so they've bred this type of behavior, this activism, this type of, harassing, I would say, politicians. And now it's all of a sudden not okay, because AOC has been one of those people to go out and encourage activists to harass politicians. This is her in December of 2020. She tweeted out, the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support. Do you like this? Am I doing a good job?
You're doing it perfect.
Popular support often. Wait, I need the eyes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To folks who complain, protest demands make others uncomfortable. That's the point, Alexandria. Okay? Did you feel uncomfortable there? because that was the point. So it seems a whole lot to me like we have this, particularly when it comes to the squad. It's like, oh, okay, so you can dish it out, but you can't take it. So it's only okay to harass someone when it's a Republican at a restaurant, but not when it's AOC, a radical left AOC in Brooklyn, New York, coming out of a theater with her beta husband.
I remember that guy, that activist who was when the whole 2020 riot and started to pop off. And then it got really close to like his neighborhood and he was like, y'all need to go home. It's like, that's how quick that it is. These guys will be hypocrites from a position that they took 5 minutes ago. Yep. It's whatever is expedient for them at the time is the position that it is that they take. So when it does go back, these are not principled people, which is why the whole principled argument doesn't really work on these people. So it's something that they will levy at you all day long. If it means that it's going to make their political enemies uncomfortable, AOC is perfectly fine with that. But like she was saying, screaming, that's effed up, man. That's effed up, man.
Is it?
Ain't it effed up?
Yeah.
It's messed up that people are trying to come and collect.
Right.
It is messed up, ain't it?
Right. Exactly. And then when it comes to this issue, right, at the end of the day, the conflict between Gaza, the Gaza Strip, Hamas, and Israel, it is, to me, extremely frightening to see how people like AOC have radicalized these people through this new, you know, I don't even want to say education of the issue, because it seems to be the exact opposite of the issue. They're not teaching correct factual history. They're teaching they looked like young kids. Well, I shouldn't say kids. That makes me, boy, do I feel old. I'm calling an adult a kid. But I mean, these young adults, they're teaching them from the lens of these people are oppressed because Israel is evil. And that's how they're being taught the issue. And so they genuinely think that they're just like, holy crap, Israel is this evil, evil nation who's doing this to these poor people.
It's not a position that they got to logically. Most of their positions, definitely on like international sort of conflicts, they're not positions that they like. It's like with the Ukraine thing.
And our education systems that we're paying for in our tax dollars oftentimes are the ones that are teaching them that.
That's a whole another conversation. I'm for sure willing to have that it needs to be eliminated. But if you just sat these people down and said, hey, all right, I just want you to explain. I know your position. I know your end game. What you think that it's a general. Okay, explain it to me. Right. Explain it to me in great detail. You think these people could do
that? Nope.
They freeze up and be like, oh, no, this is just the narrative that I was told to have. This is the position that maybe my colleagues have, my friends have, maybe what I'm being taught in sort of these schools. That's it. Is there any level of complexity? Not to them. It's black and white. Mm-hmm. But it's only black and white because they feel like that's the position it is that they have. But it's like that with largely most of these issues that they like advocate, but most of the positions that they have, you just really sat these guys down. I've done it. People that remember, I used to do those monetize your hater streams. You used to talk to these people all the time, and I'm like, hey, just explain this stuff out. I'm gonna give you the floor. Explain it to me.
Right.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's just scary to live in a country where there are that many. I mean, that's a lot of people that we're talking about who, because I love asking them questions too. I do the same thing, especially when it comes to the term, you know, when they want to call someone a racist or they want to call someone xenophobic or they want to, and it's like, but why?
Yeah.
Why are you, what specifically did this person
Bring
do?
It down for
me. Right. And they're like, well, I
Talk
don't know.
It. Yeah. They don't really understand it. And that is dangerous because it shows how, I mean, I guess they are literal youthful idiots.
Yes. And I'm like, these people vote.
That's the scary part.
These people vote.
These people have no idea what the hell it is that they're talking about,
None.
But they get to vote.
Yes.
And it counts just as much.
Just as much as mine. Yes. That's why I'm like, I mean, I get it. You guys want to like be, you know, inclusive because we're all about inclusivity in this country. I don't. I do not want you to vote if you're dumb. I don't want you to vote if you're ill-informed. I don't want you to vote if you get to your conclusion by way, as you often point emotion. Out, Eric, by way of emotion rather than logic. I don't want you to vote if you bring in more taxpayer money than you put into the system because it's a conflict of interest. I don't want you to vote. Have I pissed everyone off yet?
I don't want you
to vote if you don't have, I don't know, some skin in the game somehow with either property or taxes or children or one of those. I want to be as exclusive as possible when it comes to voting.
Well, this is my issue with voting in general, right? Is because of exactly that. It's like you have extremely stupid people, verifiably stupid people, that get to impact like policy in some way, maybe by proxy, because you're voting for someone to vote for a law or something of that nature. Maybe on a single issue for a local issue, you may be voting on that specific thing directly. And there's so many people, especially regarding income tax, I would encourage the American people to go just look it up. Just the sheer amount of people that don't pay income, negative actual income tax payers, meaning they take it and not giving jack. However, they do get to vote, and they will get to, you know, in cases like mine, guys that have moved in another tax bracket, they are quite literally voting to raise taxes on people like myself.
Exactly.
So they are my enemy as far as I'm concerned. Of course, I don't want them to vote because they are ill informed. But yeah, the policies in general are negative, like all around. They will impact it, especially regarding the economy, impact it negatively. But just with any other issue, you don't go to someone that's so ill informed to try to get a resolution. From them. You don't do that with anything. For whatever reason, we do it with government, which is supposedly this very, very important thing. And we have the most we have a very stupid class of people that get to go out there and vote screaming and shouting. They get to vote. And it counts just as much as the person that knows this thing like the back of their
head. Yeah. Well,
that sucks.
Well, now I'm blackpilled. Thanks.
My apologies.
All right. We'll make it a little bit more fun. We got to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about the latest in the Fannie Willis saga over in Georgia.
Got something to say? Leave Sarah a message at 888-969-5113.
All right. So yesterday, the Post-Millennial reported a new court filing submitted by co-defendant David Schaefer in the Georgia RICO case targeting Trump, alleging that Fannie Willis, the good, innocent, the very innocent, non-corrupt Fannie Willis, of course, the district attorney in Fulton County in charge of this case against Trump, actually encouraged Nathan Wade's friend, her lover. I know this is hard. I feel like we need a flow chart. And now former divorce attorney to keep quiet if he was ever asked about their affair. So this is the allegation is that there was a phone call that took place in September 2023 where Fannie Willis is said to have made these comments, which were allegedly overheard by Cobb County prosecutor Cindy Lee Yeager, who stated she would be willing to testify under oath that what Bradley told her about the timeline of that relationship in person contradicts the statements that he made on the stand. And this has been so wild to watch play out because you have Bradley, right? Like forwarding text messages to the prosecutor in the case. She's got text messages. And he's like, yeah, they were in a relationship way sooner than they claim that they were. They were dating as early as like 2019. He talked about where they met. Like he had it all down. And she had the text messages right there. But when he was asked about it and he went on the stand, he was like, I can't recall. I don't know. Let's play some of that.
Mr. Bradley, when you communicated with Ms. Merchant, did you tell her any lies about Mr. Wade and Miss Willis's relationship?
Did I lie to Miss Willis?
That's a simple question, Mr. Bradley. You're a lawyer. Did you lie to Miss Merchant when you told her facts about Mr. Wade and Miss Willis's relationship?
Define lie. What do you mean by lie?
Not that I recall. I don't recall.
Oh, gosh.
I mentioned earlier that I speculated on some things. I've testified to what I did know. So I can't recall whether or not I
lied.
No.
What? This whole thing has just been such a giant dumpster fire to watch. I mean, you've got like this. First of all, Nathan Wade's married, right? So you've got like the divorce happening. You've got, I believe this talked about in his divorce, you've got her funneling money to the tune of like $650,000 to put him on this case that he had absolutely no experience in RICO cases. He had never tried a case like this before. And she's like, you know what? Nathan Wade's the guy to come in and help me get Trump. You've got like, you've got so many different layers to this. You've got them going on vacations. You've got his friend who's like ratting him out to the prosecutor. And then you've got him going on the stand and being like, so define lie. I can't really say. I don't recall lying. If I did, I was just speculating when I very explicitly told the prosecutor that they definitely were involved in a relationship. And then now you have, Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade telling his divorce attorney to keep quiet if this ever came down the pipeline. But everything's on the up and up when you're a Democrat. Everything is fine. No one is corrupt. And it's just those nasty Republicans.
Yeah, it makes for like a solid like drama on TV.
Yeah.
This whole thing. You couldn't even map it out because it's really a blowback. That's what makes this whole thing funny. I think I brought this up on the show several times. Like the only reason this discussion is happening is because Fannie
Exactly right.
So now
interference, Donald Trump, bad.
So now everything is like, you know, it's a blowback. It's like, all right, well, it's discovery, I guess is what you call it. And now, you know, of course, they were going to fight back. They were always going to fight back. And now your business has to get aired out.
Yeah.
Like completely. We know that this is a level of corruption that's unlike any other. They've been on, we don't know. She doesn't know what the damn continents are. But they're on continents. At some continent. What continent, what? But they're traveling with each other, clearly screwing it with each other. We know the information about his phone records showing that he's stationary at 3 a.m.
Eric, they were working really hard on
Yeah, really, yeah, case. They were working really
they
hard.
They were working real hard.
they were for sure working really hard on the case. What case? But yeah, they were working really, really hard, clearly. But it stinks to high hell. Mm-hmm. And it's her fault. Like it all falls. The buck stops on us. Like if you didn't go on this crusade, we wouldn't know anything about this.
I mean, also consider this too. This is how arrogant the left is. She didn't even have to testify. Like that wasn't a. She didn't have to take the stand and sit there and say, "Don't make fun of me." But I don't know what continent Belize is in or whatever it was. I don't know continents very well. You know, don't laugh at me. She didn't have to take the stand with her freaking dress on backwards. Like she didn't have to do any of these things that she. I mean, really embarrassed her on a national level.
Absolutely.
She like your point. Which is a great one, but like your point aside, let's just say like, okay, she did it and the damage is already undone and you can't undo it. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. She made a mistake. She made a miscalculation. It's like, when do the miscalculations stop with these people? Because Fulton County seems to have hired a bunch of total idiots running at a county level.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch this woman and I'm like, are we just giving anyone a law degree now? Is it just anyone can pass law school?
I mean, the guy,
she didn't even know she didn't even know which way a dress goes in the front.
And homie couldn't answer that question. He's like, you're a lawyer.
We're just handing these degrees out like candy to these people?
That's what it is. That hamster wheel, man. It was spinning several times. Speculation. He doesn't know. It's like, I don't recall. It's like, dude, we see it. We've already saw it. There's nothing that, I mean, you could call it speculation, but it was pretty explicit and deep detail to be such a speculation. You know what it is you said, and you're just not trying to be on the hook about it because, well, this whole thing is blown up. It's going to crap. Like, this is a Mayday kind of situation. Everything is going to crap. Everybody's in on it. We know there's a level of corruption like any other, and, you know, probably, arguably, y'all should be in prison.
Yes.
All of you.
Yes. Yes. The icing on the cake for me was last week whenever he they showed him all of these text messages and you can hear him audibly as he's reading. And he goes, oh, dang. It really does. Honestly, if the left can continue to overplay their hand, I won't hate it because you've got Fannie Willis, you've got Hunter Biden and Joe Biden being looked into. You've got these radical leftists who continue to try to weaponize the judicial system. And I'm just saying, I don't know if the right can finally get their crap together. I'm just saying, fight fire with fire, but do it where we already know there is corruption, like with Fannie Willis, like with Hunter and Joe Biden. Like, don't weaponize it against an innocent person like they're doing to Donald Trump. There are enough people on the left who are complete criminals.
Oh, yeah.
Eric would argue all of them.
A lot of them are.
They're complete criminals. You've got people making millions of dollars while in Congress. You don't think that there's insider trading going on? So I'm just saying, they started it. Yeah. And I understand that that is an argument that you don't want your kids to make whenever they're fighting. But it is a really solid argument when it comes to this.
It comes to politics.
Gloves are off.
That's politics.
Yes. They decided to do it first. And now it's complete lawfare. Okay. Well, let's fight to win is all I'm saying.
Play to win. I say it all the time. You got to play to win.
Play to win. All right. We've got to take a quick break. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Preborn. So look, Preborn is an amazing organization, ministry that I love to work with because it's very simple with Preborn. They are out to save as many lives of babies as possible. And here's how they're doing it. They partner with this network of clinics who oftentimes they're parked right next to these Planned Parenthoods where women are going in and they're being sold lies. They're being told, it's just a clump of cells. Don't worry. We'll just vacuum it out. It'll be totally fine. And by the way, you won't have any regrets later on down the road. We know that that's a lie. And when these women, they're scared, they're hurting, they go in and they see their baby on the ultrasound and they hear the heartbeat and something just... You guys know it if you're parents. It is life-changing and something just connects with the mother and they go, holy crap, this is a baby. It's not a clump of cells. This is my baby and I'm its mother and it's my duty and responsibility to protect and nurture this child. And so what Preborn is doing is they are asking to help them give these women ultrasounds. All right, it's $28 for an ultrasound. And when this woman sees the ultrasound, they are twice as likely to choose life. So please, please help Preborn save as many babies as possible. Like I said, $28 a month can be the difference between life and death of a baby. You can donate securely by going to preborn.com/Sarah. That is preborn.com/Sarah. As we talk about the election, that in my opinion is very extremely important, at least for what I do trying to protect children. As we talk about it, Eric, doesn't this just inspire so much confidence in our leader, in Joe Biden, when you see clips like this?
I have a lot of questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Uh-oh, there goes handlers.
Super Tuesday, so do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
He has no idea where he is. None. Is he even alive? He is bro is gone. Gone. Don't you just, you see that and you're like, this is a strong, full of vigor.
Well, I just don't, it just never feels like, I mean, definitely when he says things, just from an optics, I don't even like that term, but you never feel like he's in charge of it.
Literally, he's like, not even in charge of his own bowel movements.
I'm saying, like, he's just like there and he says things like that. Well, they're going to get mad at me. Like, you're the freaking president.
Right. You're like, who? Tell me who? Are you being held hostage? Who? Oh, gosh. That's what we're up against, guys. Go vote.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.